Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this precious time that we can spend together. I thank you for all of the leaders here that have come out, and I pray that you will guide us and that you will fill us with greater love and devotion to be feeding your lambs and your sheep. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Okay, so our seminar is, we're good. Yeah, just the cord doesn't go very far. Big teaching in a small church. Okay, just so I can get to know some of you a little bit better, how many of you are teaching in a church where you have more than one age group? Like you're not just doing cradle roll, you're doing another. Okay, all right, most of you. Okay, you're in the right place then. All right, how many of you have children that are in cradle roll? Okay, a few of you, okay. How many of you have juniors? Okay, all right. Older than that, early teens or youth? Okay, all right, just a... Probably should be. Okay, so we have a wide gamut here. Okay, well, I hope that we can give you some tips and some principles that can help all of you no matter what you're doing. Okay, so we're going to see in this seminar how we can make a big difference even though we come from a small church. All right, do you teach in a small church? I think most of you would, otherwise you wouldn't be here, right? Well, I attend the First Flint Church, and First Flint has a really big building. We used to have 400 members there, but now not anymore. We have less than 100. And when people start to talk to you about small churches, that's really their definition of what a small church is, that you have less than 100 members. Anybody have less than 50 members? Okay, all right, a few of you. Okay, all right, I have been in churches like that too. All right, but you know, the majority of our churches in Michigan are small. And I didn't really realize that until I went on the website about a year ago and found that out. Okay, we're looking at some general principles from cradle roll all the way up, no matter what kind, just for what we consider children's Sabbath school. Okay, let's go on then. I just wanted to show you a brief look about what churches are like and here in our conference. Now, most of the churches in Michigan Conference are English speaking. Anybody here from a Spanish speaking church? Or no? Okay. That's another pardon? You do? Okay. All right. Well, we've got Vietnamese, we've got Filipino, we've got Romanian, but English and Spanish are the two biggest ones. But when we look at the English speaking churches, we have 153 here in our conference, and 101 are considered a small church. So that means, you know, that many people have, that many churches have 100 or less. That really was amazing to me. And the average size is 37. Anybody can relate to that? Yeah? Okay. Me too. I raised my children in a church that was about that size. And so that means that 66% of all the churches that speak English here in our conference are small churches. And the same is true for the Spanish. They have 16 churches here in the Michigan Conference, and 12 of them qualify as small churches. Now, their average size is a little bit bigger, but still, it's three-fourths of their churches are small churches. Now, and that's okay, right? Small is, bigger does not necessarily mean better. You know, I personally like small churches. I just feel like you're not lost in a sea of faces, and they always seem more like a family. So I really think that there's some real pluses in belonging to a small church, but there's also some challenges as well. And we're going to take a look at some of them. Okay. Now, of course, the number one reason why you're here is when you have a small church, you often have a few children, right? And sometimes it means you only meet in all of the age groups, all meet together, you know, but you may only have maybe one child even that comes. I was just talking with a friend of mine, and she was telling me she's down in the Detroit area, and they don't have any children. Okay, so, but generally, you know, there's just a few when you have a small church. Whoops, I didn't want to do that. Okay, now up on that slide, you can see, I'm sorry, it's not real, because of our technology problem here. This, in this picture, you know, is of a small church, and they may all be meeting there together, because I'm seeing a cradle roll there, I see primary there, I see a few kindergartners there. You know, now that may be the only space that they have available in their church, and so they're all meeting together. So space is often a big problem for our churches. How many of you have your own room that you can meet in? Okay, good. All right, good. Sometimes you don't. I've known some churches where they have to meet in their fellowship hall. So it really depends. And another big challenge that we have is money, right? If there's not very many people, then we don't have big budgets to work with in our Sabbath school. So we can't put on big flashy programs. You go over visit, like I was just visiting the beginner's room here in camp meeting. We couldn't put on a big a big program like that. I mean, we don't even have that kind of space. But you know, all those stuffed animals and buildings, you know, that all takes a big budget. Okay. And sometimes the materials that we have available that our churches are able to give us, they're geared for big churches, right? How many of you are using the GraceLink curriculum? Oh, we are getting fewer and fewer. Okay, I personally use it. My church does. And you often don't have the choice, you know, when it's your church decides that. Okay, but I know that GraceLink, its programs are set up for large churches. You know, they expect you to have a lot of kids in your room and that they're all the same age group. So a lot of my Bible First people here. Yeah, they're awesome. I love that curriculum. That would be my choice if I had the choice. Okay. All right. So those are some of the big challenges. So what can you do when you teach with a few children or you have a room full of a wide range of ages? Well, we're going to, one of the things I do is I like to think of my class as a family. Okay. You know, when I was a young mom, you know, I had three kids and they were pretty close in age. But, you know, if you had, you know, like a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, maybe a 3-year-old, you know, you're not going to have three separate family worships for them, right? You're going to all come together as a family and learn about Jesus together. And that's what we do in Sabbath School. Now, I call that kind of setup is a blended room. And that's what we're doing when we have multi age groups in our room. But I've worked in them all my life, you know, and I know that they can be happy and active and growing places for boys and girls. And we're going to be looking at some tips that we can do to make it that way. Okay, now in a blended room, we provide a lot of variety because we want to meet the needs of all the children that are there, of course. But we also have to have a different focus sometimes because we want all of the children to get something, but we also don't want them to get bored, you know, and think, oh, Sabbath school is such a drag, you know. So we want to be able to provide a happy, exciting, fun, stimulating place where the children can all sing together and learn about Jesus together, and where we can help them to become growing disciples of Jesus, right? And that's how I look at Sabbath school. That is a place for me to help boys and girls to become young disciples of Jesus. Okay. All right. So let's look first at as if we were had a blended room with two age groups. Now, I teach in a classroom, with kindergarten and cradle roll combined. We have the space for a kindergarten, but we don't have the manpower or the woman power to handle it. So my room is for infants through age 6, and it is working. It's working pretty well. I have a reasonably sized room. I mean, not this like this room, but it's not a teeny tiny room. So I'm able to have centers. I can have, they're more like little corners in the room. And that is really nice when you're working with small children so that they have a place that they can move to from place to place. Okay? And you can see up here, this is my room right now, all right, this quarter. Our theme is walking in the rainforest with Jesus. And I used to have a quarter-long program. You know, this would last for all quarter long. We'd do the same things week after week. And that's what generally we normally do with Sabbath school. And because we're using GraceLink, I was mainly focusing on the cradle roll, you know, we would have the same story for a whole month. Because, you know, the little children need that repetition when they're only, you know, less than 2 years old, you know, and that's a good fit. But, you know, my kids were now 3 and 4 year olds, and we had no kindergarten to send our 4 year olds to. So, and my boys were getting a little wiggly. So I thought, oh, we need some extra stimulation. So we decided to change up our program. So I still have a quarter long program of the rainforest. We've been learning about all the animals that live there. We've been learning about the Garden of Eden there. But every month, it's different. It's sort of like the program is like a giant picture book, and we have 3 chapters. So each month we look at some different animals, and there's a different focus. And down here you can see our little mission center here, because we're learning about the Amazon, so get to sail down the Amazon River. And but I needed to switch that up in order for the boys and girls, because they were getting a little wiggly. And we had this one little boy, his mother, he was about 2 years old, and his mother had to take him out like 7 times every Sabbath. You know, he just was just that kind of little boy. But once we started to change the program this way, he's been just fine. So anyway, this is something that I have done in my classroom. And when you have, when you're teaching in a small church, you know, and you have a limited amount of space, then we need to use our rooms efficiently. Okay, now I use my walls very efficiently. Like up here on the top picture, you can see I have a very large bulletin board. It's not as long as that, those two, but it's close to 8 feet long and 4 feet wide. But you know, it's like about this tall in the room. And so I just cover it with bulletin board paper from the top all the way to the floor. And that's what that blue paper is. And I have saved bulletin board sets over the years, like those palm trees are 2 palm tree sets I have. And we've got another set that had all the butterflies and the birds and some animals up there. And I keep them because they help me to construct pictures in my room and to set up a scene. And that is one of the most important things we can do when we're teaching children 8 years old and under. We want to create a scene. We want to create a place that they can explore on Sabbath morning, and that it will change from quarter to quarter, and they'll look forward to seeing it. It's part of building that happy experience for them. Okay, and I borrowed, of course, a lot of plants and from the church and from home, and it really makes it a happy environment for the children. Okay, and you know what you can do when you have devices like these palm trees, if you will just, something I've learned is you just put like some on the back of it, put some a packing tape, put a strip of packing tape where you're going to put your poster putty to, or tape to attach it to your wall. Because when, if you don't have that, you pull it off, and then it's going to pull some of that paper off of your device. And then, you know, it's going to break down, and it's not going to be so good, and you're not going to be able to use it from year to year. So that's a tip I learned when I was teaching school, is just put some packing tape on strategic places on the back side where you're going to attach it to the wall. And it really does help.
You mean tape it onto the back of the
car? Yeah, yes, right.
Put the putty on top of the tape?
Yes, that's exactly right, yes. Okay, I wanted to show you a couple of other Sabbath school classrooms. This is, we'll start by looking at this one here. This is from our sister church in Clio. And they used to be a company, but now they're a full-fledged church, and they just bought a house, and they turned it into a church. And what we're looking at is a cradle-roll kindergarten blended room, okay? And it is a teeny tiny space. And so this area that we're looking at is the only real area they have for doing their program. Okay, if we continued along this wall, they have a built-in closet, and then they have a sink area, and just a little bit past, they'll set up their chairs for the children, and then they have three small tables against the opposite wall, and that's where, they, of course, they do their crafts, you know, but that's all the space they have. And so the leader there, what she did is she turned that corner into her program corner. And what she did was she, this is a piece of cardboard, and she took the book. They're going to be learning, she's using My Bible First here at this church, and they're learning about Moses. And so she took My Bible Friends, the story of baby Moses, and she put it on an overhead projector in front of her cardboard. And then she was just able to sort of trace, you know, the large shapes from that picture, and then she just could paint it. So you don't have to be an artist to make something really super fantastic. So I think she did an awesome job with that. And then on the bottom, the blue part is just a thick piece of styrofoam, and she covered it with a blue plastic tablecloth, and she stuck some plants in there that sort of mirror what she's got painted in her picture. So, and then there's a basket in the corner of baby Moses. So it's really nice because it fits their room. It's also portable. So, you know, if you belong to a church where you had to share your space with maybe the fellowship hall, you know, you can just pick up that board and throw it in the closet, and the same with your water device that you have there. Okay, now if it was my room, personally, this big felt board is attached to the wall, you know, and one of the keys is we want to use our space efficiently. And so look at all that wall space that's not being used, you know. So for me, I wouldn't use that board. You know, what I would do, I would use the tables for the areas where we teach the kids their lesson. When my kids were growing up, they went to Plymouth Church, right? we had a fantastic kindergarten room there. But the leaders had small tables, child-friendly tables, and they had little easels they would set on the table, and that's where they would put their felt board. And so they had a couple ladies in there, just two, and they were the program. So they each taught a group around the little table. And I'll tell you, the kids thought it was super fantastic. They got to help the teacher, you know, putting up the little felt. And that's a great way to get kids involved in the story, too. But, you know, if they did that, then you would have this whole wall and this corner in which to build a setting for your program. And I think that if it was my room, that's what I would want to see happen. Okay, now the other picture is from another friend of mine, but she lives out in Missouri Conference. And she belongs to a small church too. And what they decided to do, she just had a corner available to have for her program part. But she had a friend who took some painter drop cloths, and she painted that. Okay, it's just, you can get them, you know, at Home Depot. You can get three of them in a set, you know, for like $20-some, you know. But then she just took her craft paint and painted this Egyptian scene. You know, it's not super detailed, right? It looks pretty simple. But she's tacking it up there at the top of her ceiling. But, you know, I was thinking, because I'm thinking of doing this in my room, is I would like to put like a curtain rod, and then I could just suspend, you know, those drop cloths from there. And because the thing I like about it is that you would have it. You know, you can put it in your closet. Just roll it up for another theme time, and you'll have it. Because, like, for right now, you know, I use the bulletin board paper. And when I'm done, you know, it's garbage, you know, so... It's really, when you think about it, it's more money, you know. So something like this, it would take a little more time, but it's a good investment, you know, especially for a small church, because we want to use our pennies really, you know, really wisely. You think that's a good idea? Yeah, I thought that was an awesome idea. All right, let's go to the next one here. Okay, all right. Now, let's think about music in a blended room. All right, if we have a variety of kids, okay, we want to be able to sing songs that are going to appeal to all of them, right? You know, don't we do that in Vacation Bible School? You know, we don't just have songs for juniors or just songs for kindergartners. We usually pick a song that appeals to each group. And that's what you should do when you have a wide range of ages in your classroom. Now, because I have beginners and our cradle roll and kindergartner, I'm using longer songs, bigger songs, than I would if I was just having cradle roll. And I don't sing as many because kindergartners have a longer attention span, and so I can talk to them a little bit more. Okay, but because I've got really young kids that need more repetition, some of the songs in my program we sing every single week during that quarter. And they're kind of songs that we think about when we think, sort of like the everything we do before we do our theme time, you know. So we always start out with a couple of praise songs. You know, we get out the rhythm instruments. And we start, and this kind of warms the kids up because sometimes they're a little tired. You know, we have a welcome song, and then we have a pre-prayer song before we go to our prayer corner. We always have a mission song, and then an offering song if the kids are bringing up their offerings. Now, if I had older kids, like primary, we could still pretty much follow that format. Except, you know, maybe, you know, the praise and the welcome, we could just say that we're going to have a song service. Okay, we wouldn't necessarily have, you know, individual songs where we're welcoming the kids. And when I've worked in a kindergarten primary blended room, that's what we did. We would start with 10 minutes of songs, and sometimes we'd have, I may always like to make a little booklet, a little song book, and the kids would pick songs from there. And that worked out really well. So, but the important thing is that we want to pick songs that will appeal to everybody, and we need to have songs too. I like to always have songs where the kids get moving. Okay? Action songs are so important when you're with, especially with kids that are, even juniors, they like to have actions to their songs. And and scripture songs. I always like to have at least one song that's a scripture song, even for the very youngest, the cradle roll, because they're going to learn it. And I am, and it's such a joy when they start to join in and sing with you. But that's what we want to do. We want to make music to be exciting and fun for them, but appeal to everybody. Okay, now what about if we don't have a pianist? How many of you have a pianist? Oh, very few, very few. Okay. Well, what do you do in your church? What do you do in your Sabbath school room? Instead of having, yes. Okay, so you download them and then you make your own CD from there. You just pick and go to it using your computer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. Very good. How many of you do that? No? Okay. Any other ideas out there that you do because you don't have a pianist? Yes.
CDs at Walmart, they have them in the children's section.
Uh-huh.
And they have Christian songs on the CDs.
Okay. Okay, all right. That's right. And so you can just sing along with them. Right. Any of you ever heard of Cedarmont Kids? Yeah, you can find them on YouTube, you know, and you can download them, you know, just like you have done, and make them into a playlist. You can see up here a lot of our songbooks that we use and these are the oldies, right? Sabbath songs. They even have a CD. Yeah, the oldies but goodies. Yes, we still like to use those. And so there's Our Little Voices Praise Him. That's if you're cradle roll or kindergarten, that's like our hymn book. You know, you can get that on CD and you can do the same thing. I do have a handout if you're interested and you would like to burn your own CD and would make a playlist, of course, you know, but then you'd have the selected ones already in one after another, you know, and you just have to put it into your electronic device and you can go from there. And it's so, so easy to do. Or you could get a CD. And if you're having a song service, and you could just sing along with the songs on that CD, for 3ABN, you know, Tiny Tots has a sing-along CD, and Kids Time Praise does. Yes. Did you say Truth for Youth? Youth for Truth.
So is it for older, a little bit older children?
Yes, we used that for an evangelistic series. Yeah, it was. I thought it was Truth for Youth, though.
The number 4.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it is from Young Disciple. Yes.
Also, in my Bible, there's visualized on that.
Yes. Okay, and they give you the accompaniment as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Okay, all right. I saw that on their website, but I didn't know it came with a CD. Okay, yes?
They also have a little handheld recorder that works beautiful.
Okay.
For $35 at Walmart, and it records, and you use it in class, and it records, and you can record music on there.
Mm-hmm.
You can just push the button and it plays.
That's
good. It has a very clear, crisp sound to it.
Wonderful.
$45.
Wow. Okay. Did you... Did you hear maybe something that you could do in your church that you haven't been doing? I hope that's a lot of good ideas. I think that's awesome. You know, because some people don't even have a piano in their churches. So we need to be a little creative and look for resources that will help us. Okay, all right, let's move on to mission time. Now, when children are small, this is the best time to plant the seed to be missionaries for Jesus, right? Because, you know, I know for myself, I want my kids to grow up to be givers, to be able to think about others and to be able to share with others who are in need, to share their love of Jesus with others. So to think beyond themselves. And that's what mission time does for our kids. And I also want my boys and girls to know that they can be a missionary too, right? They don't have to wait till they're a junior or a teen in order to be learning to share their faith. They can be one, even if they are in cradle roll. Yes.
I have a weird question.
Sure.
We have a mission time, and anyway, it's a grandmother, and none of the kids really bring offering from home. Because mm-hmm. usually, if they never bring it, so the leader usually just passes out money.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's got to be a way to fix that concept. So
You have what age group do you have in there?
Seven and down, because I don't think anybody brings offering in our church. And I want to change that concept, because you're right, they got to learn to get it from their parents so they realize it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your parents are probably in the room with you when you have seven-year-olds and up,
no,
right? Right.
Active.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, it's like they would pass it to everybody in it.
Yeah.
It
defeats
the process.
Yeah. Sometimes it might be cool if you could get a offering device going, you know, for the kids. I remember one time I painted on like a piece of underlayment, and I painted Russia. It was Russia. It was, and for every quarter the kids brought in, actually every coin that they brought in, we would attach it to the map. And so it really got them, even, and I had a lot, it really motivated them. Yeah, it was a challenge. And I was working in a town where the kids in our church were not well to do, you know, but they still liked bringing their coins. And because we wanted to fill that map out. And I talked with the treasurer, you know, we're not going to be giving you our offering from week to week. We'll wait till 13th Sabbath, and then you'll have it all. Okay.
Yeah.
It did. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Wow. Are you working with older kids?
Yes.
Yep. Excellent, excellent plan. Yes, and Adra has a whole. Yeah. I did that once when we had primary and juniors. Yeah. Okay, back here.
We had one that was called Feed the Poor or something. Uh-huh. And they made a little crystal, like cardboard.
Uh-huh.
And they attached it. The kids would want to attach, make that knob on the stove,
mm-hmm.
the coin. They had to get bigger coins, like feeding instead of to bring the quarters. And they put the quarters in there, and then you had to push the dials, and we made fire with the pennies coming up out of the oven.
How creative. Excellent.
We turned it all in on the 13th Sabbath.
Yeah.
From another country with food.
Wonderful. Okay, another idea over here. Excellent. Another thing that I've used is I've gotten special banks. And each child will have their own mission bank. And so the kids will then bring their offering and put it in their own individual one. And it's just more fun for them to see if they can get it all filled up, you know, by the end of 13th Sabbath. But sometimes it's nice, like we've been sharing here, is to have a project, a bigger thing than just every single week having collecting the offering if you're having trouble with the offerings coming in. And work toward a project. That is excellent. The church I used to belong to, and you probably have seen these like out in the stores. They're, and I don't know what their name is, but it's like it's a round thing, and you put the coin in, and it just go woo, and then down the middle, and that really motivates them to bring in offerings so they can put that in that special offering device. So. Anybody else have an idea that works for you? Okay, these are awesome. You're giving me ideas too.
You get something like that, like she popped them off. It's like a little gutter or burner.
Oh yeah, this is one of the ones that.
Mm-hmm. You probably have to go to a toy store. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or a party store. Got an idea, Diane?
I'm looking at Amazon, I'm sure. But
yeah, so how many of you shop there on Amazon? I get so many things for Sabbath school there. Okay, well, let's move on. Our time is... Okay. All right, let's talk people, okay? Because when we work in a small church, we don't have a humongous team, right? How many of you are the only one in your room? Okay, all right. Okay, I'm with you.
It's a minus because I haven't even started it. I start July. I'm trying to learn.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think it's ideal if you can be two. Okay. When I first started working in blended classrooms, it was me and my sweetie, my husband and I. And that was the perfect setup. You know, because when you have a wide range of kids, you know, I took the younger ones, and my husband John took the older ones, you know, and you can divide and conquer that way. And though the best is if it's not your spouse, because what happens if you have to go away? You both have to go away together, you know. But I am like a one-woman show. In my church, but you know, there have been times when I've gotten the flu, you know, and guess what? The room did not fall apart. They still had a program for the kids. You know, I let the head elder know, you know, there's no way I'm coming in and giving the kids this germ, you know, and so they would call somebody. And I just think it can be a great opportunity to plant a seed in somebody who might want to start being a part of Sabbath school ministry. And I am starting to see in my room mothers who said, I can help. And, of course, I'm with the little ones, so the mothers are there. You know, but these mothers have always been, you know, as shy can be. But I have one mother who said, I could do the mission story, you know, every week, you know. And so I'm really excited. Yes.
And enlist the youth, you know, give them a mission story the week ahead.
Yes.
Get involved in.
Yeah. We just had a...
Those are the guys that are going to be teaching that school and work on.
That's right. Exactly right. That's something that I have always done. And when we lived up north in Tawa City... we had three families with kids, and our kids were, I had three, another family had four, another family had three. So there was only 10 kids, you know, but that's what, as the kids got older, that's what we would do. We would say, hey, can you tell this story for me for next week? And eventually, every kid in our church learned to tell stories. And telling stories is a big passion of mine, and my main name was Story, and I think God just put that in there. but, you know, I passed on my passion to the children, and they all learned to tell stories until when the kids got to be early teens and like 14, 15, 16, they put on our VBS. And word got around Tawas, and we had like 50 to 75 kids come because they heard, this is a kid-run VBS. I mean, we were still there to sort of, you know, be the coaches, you know, or consultants if the kids needed some help. But other than that, they did it all. But, you know, it didn't happen overnight. You know, it was as they grew up in our Sabbath school, we would give them little tasks to do. We taught them, first of all, though, how to tell a story. And telling a story is such an important skill to pass on for our children. And if you would like to learn how to tweak your storytelling skills so you can disciple kids to do the same, please come out Friday, and I'm going to be having a seminar on that. Okay? Well, another thing is I just lost my teacher. We had a dad who was fantastic at telling a story. He would be there every week, but he moved up north, and now I had nobody. And nobody wanted to make that commitment to tell the story every week in my church. So I started asking ladies, I said, do you think you could come in this Sabbath and just tell a 10-minute story? I said, I'll give you the felt. I'll give all the toys, whatever you need to tell the story. Could you tell the story for us this week? And I didn't say to come in once a month. I just said this week. So that's how I started, you know. And so I got four different ladies to come in. And then the next time I asked, do you think you could do it again? You did such a great job, you know. And so they said, oh, yeah. And then the next time they said, you know, I'd really like to do this, you know. So now I have a team of four women who are my teachers. You know, so if you don't have, you don't have to do it all. If you could just ask people just to do one little thing, you know, you might find that you can get a team going. And I think the more people that we can bring in to our classrooms, the better it will be, you know, for the strength of our programs. And I even did that in a large church. I used to teach over at East Lansing, and there were lots of people there, but lots of shy people. So, so that's what I did. I started asking, do you think you could come in, you know, and tell a story just this week, you know, and, or you could get somebody who might like to do that with your Bible verse crafts, you know, so that, you know, maybe you can just focus on the program, you know, and have these other helpers there for you. So, and I bet that you will be training future leaders, because we need to have more than a couple people in a church who are good with working with children, right? Amen.
Right. Would it be too overwhelming for an older child, like maybe 12 years old in the class, to ask that person who knew they were a reader to read one of the stories, or do you think it would be pressure?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. You have, huh?
I have a 10-year-old in my class. She begs to do the story.
Amen. All right. Okay. That's right. Absolutely. Another great idea. Use Pathfinder Honor as a motivator. Absolutely. I think kids that as long as they can read, they will be great at telling a story. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we did when our kids were growing up. All the kids, that's what they did. They learned to tell the story. They took turns. Yes.
I want to say one thing. I have a 10-year-old. She begs to do the story.
Yeah.
And she is not at us. Mm. She comes with a friend and never misses.
Wonderful.
And she takes the quarterly home with her.
Uh-huh.
I use my Bible verse and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But takes it home. She comes with her.
Praise the Lord. Wow. That is wonderful. We just had one of our girls from the church school. She's 10 years old. And the week after, I asked her mother if she could. It was her mother's week to tell the story, but good mom that she is, she asked her daughter, I said, could you help me tell this story, you know, and so Skylar did, and Skylar's been back, you know, so yes, I really think we need to bring our young people in, and especially if they're in that blended room already, you know, ask them to be your teacher assistants. Okay, all right, let's move on to theme time. How many of you have themes in your room? Your programs? Yes, some of you? Okay, good.
This quarterly is on mold. It looks like on the front of the book. On that. So I planned on doing Moses.
Okay.
That is the beginner. No, that's the kindergarten.
Okay.
Kindergarten.
Okay.
So I will probably need some of the baskets and, you know, like a little river.
Mm-hmm.
A little brushes. Yeah. Pharaoh. Scenery. You know, but I'm in the primary, kindergarten, and so I'm going to try to incorporate it all together with Moses because
okay.
I like the thicker. It's in the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the middle one. And I figure I can get the fingertip to help out with the theme on the wall, maybe?
Helping you decorate it? Absolutely, that's a great idea.
I like that idea about them reading. They just, they know how to read.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to be asked to read.
Right,
so
right. Yeah. Another thing, if you have some older kids, like primary and junior, is you can also put your program onto a slideshow. And I did that, like, one year I had a dinosaur discovery trail, and I was working with kindergarten through junior age children. And so they took turns advancing the slides, and they took turns reading the slide, and it was exciting for the kids, especially, of course, with pictures of dinosaurs, but I've done it with other programs, and it really captivates kids' interest when you have a slideshow, and that they can be part of that. But I want to talk to you a little bit about themes. You know, I know we want to focus on the story, of course, like Moses, but we also want to have a theme that's separate from their Bible story, because we want to be discipling children. We want them to be growing up to be strong Seventh-day Adventists who are sharing their faith in Jesus with everyone they know. Okay, so I think of theme time as disciple time. Now, how many of you have read the discipleship handbook that our conference has out? Okay, all right. Now, in there, you'll see lots of the components of being disciple, and I just tweaked them a little to fit children's Sabbath school. So if we're a disciple, we're spending, you want to read this with me? Daily lesson time and prayer. Family worship. Going to church on Sabbath. Growing strong and healthy. Growing up like Jesus, that means with his character, you know, kindness, love, that sort of thing. Giving offerings to spread the good news. Sharing our faith. And helping others. Okay, so those are, all of those components are, doesn't matter how old you are, that's what's involved in being a disciple of Jesus. All right, now I have taken those components and I have divided them up into four core areas whenever I'm thinking of planning a program for my blended classroom. The first area is God's care. Now, when you read the book Steps to Christ, what is the first chapter about? It's about God's love, right? That's love for God. And so that is a very foundation stone of being a disciple for Jesus. So I want to have theme times, programs that is going to show the love and the care of God for the children. Like for young ones, like Cradle Roll and Kindergarten, you know, I may have a program all about angels and how angels show that God cares for us. If I had primary and juniors, you know, I might use a program on prayer. We might look at Bible promises and how these show the love of the Father in our lives. And let's see. Have you heard of Guide's Greatest Prayer Stories? Have any of you seen that? That is a fantastic book, isn't it? And so you can pull stories from there and share those stories with your kids, you know, one, you know, each Sabbath long. And that would make a great program. If you have younger ones, one of my favorite authors is Karen Holford. She's an Adventist author, and she has a book out. It's called Quiet Times with Jesus, and it comes with a prayer journal, and it comes with a prayer calendar, and it's got like 365 different ideas and activities that kids could be praying for and doing. And you can use some of those in your Sabbath school and make it into a program. Another book that she has, it's got, 100 Creative Prayer Ideas. And, I've used that with adventurers and Sabbath school. And there's a lot of active things that you can do in there with the kids. And that you could pull 13 ideas out of there and make a program about that for your theme time. But there's so many different ways we can show children God's care. Another area for theme is my Creator. Creation is such a big part of our faith, right? I mean, it's all tied to the Sabbath and Elder Bohr was saying just the other day, you know, that if we don't have creation, you know, there's no reason to keep the Sabbath. But also, if we evolved, you know, from a lower form of life, that means we're getting better and better. So what do we need salvation for? Yeah, it hinges on a lot of things. I remember when I was in high school, I was just coming to know the Lord, and I was, you know, of course, bombarded by evolution in the public school, and I thought, you know, if I evolve, then how can I be a child of God? So there was just so many things that hinge on creation, and our kids are just bombarded with evolution these days. And that's a big reason why I first developed my program, Dinosaur Discovery Trail. Because, you know, even if you're watching a nature program, you know, you hear millions and billions of years ago, you know. And so we really need to beef our kids up. And, like, that's why once a year I always have a creation-based or nature-based program. And I have a ministry called Bring Them to Jesus. And I have developed a lot of programs for teachers, primarily kindergarten and primary age group. But and those will be available if you want to go shopping this Thursday. You'll be able to see them there. But I really think that we really really need to emphasize that in our programs. Okay, that's another component for theme time is faith for young disciples, I call it. That's where we want to zero in on themes that are distinctive to us as Seventh-day Adventists. Okay, like how to keep the Sabbath, Ellen White and the stories of our Adventist pioneers. We want kids to really see how our church has grown and so that they will feel a part of that. This is where our health ministry comes in, because we want our kids to learn how to treat their bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and also how they can be a witness for Jesus. I have a program that I designed called Sunbeam Garden, and it uses gardening for teaching principles on how to be a witness and how to share your faith. And so that is one area that we want to focus in on when we have themes as well. And the last one is growing up like Jesus, because we just don't want them to understand about the Bible stories. We want them to experience Jesus in their lives, right? We want them to grow up like Jesus did. Like it says in Luke 2, that Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. So we want to share stories with them of boys and girls who are growing and living for Jesus and shining for Jesus in how they live. And any of you got kindergartners in your rooms? How many of you have kindergarten? There is a series of books. I brought one of them with me. This is a book called A Child Steps to Jesus. Any of you have seen this book series before? Don't you love it? It's wonderful. And it's Steps to Christ for kindergartners. And it's got 13 stories in here where they meet 13 different families, and they are all demonstrating the characteristic from each chapter of the book Steps to Christ. So the first one is about God's love, and then there's one on salvation, forgiveness, obedience. But they go through all of the various steps that we know so well from the book Steps to Christ. And I just fell in love with this book, so I put together a program so I could use it. it's called My Shiny Town, and where I give ideas of what you want to read the story to the kids, or I should take that back. You want to tell the story to the kids, you know, because you don't have the children on your lap who are looking at these little pictures as you're reading it, you know. That's the best time to just read a story to a kid. You know, if they're sitting beside you. If you were a preschool teacher, you know, you could just show them the pictures, but they would have to be very close to you. And it couldn't be a lot of children because they wouldn't be able to see it so well. So I do like to show them the pictures, but I tell the story to them. I don't read it verbatim. And that's one of the best tips you can pick up about being a master storyteller is do not read stories to children. Tell them, okay? Because you'll lose them if you read them. Okay, but this is an amazing book to use for a program. Now, if you've got older kids and you want to use a program like Steps to Christ, you know, Jerry Thomas has got Steps to Jesus. And they have, and he has got stories for all 13 chapters of Steps to Christ. And you've got a built-in program just like that, you know, with them. So, you know, look for in the ABC, there are books too that you can use. Now, another book that I have used with primaries and juniors, how many of you have read Treasures by the Sea? Oh, a couple of you. This is a beautiful book, isn't it? It's perfect, you know, because this is like a baptism preparation book. It goes through a story format. It teaches about all the animals of the sea, but in a story form. And it is a wonderful way to teach your kids about the doctrines of that we all hold dear as Seventh-day Adventists. Now, you cannot get this in the ABC anymore, unfortunately. Sally Stribe is no longer making it available. Yes? This would be, I am finding, I have taught, done a lot of Bible work. In fact, I used to train Bible workers. But, and we're finding that kids that are in primary, especially, are really starting to come forward more. It used to be juniors, you know, but now we're finding it's more like third graders are really, you're finding that too. Yeah, I think it's all across the board. So it's good for primary and juniors. And it would be even an early 13-year-old, I think, would get something out of this. But you can't get it at the ABC. But that's why I put together a program. I don't mean to be advertising so much, but I just wrote it this summer. It's called SeaQuest. Because I used to use this in my Sabbath school. And we would make this big mural. I got this mural paper that looked like the sea. And I would print out pictures of the sea animal that we were talking about, and I'd give one to each kid. So every Sabbath, you know, we're adding to our mural. So by the end of the quarter, I mean, it is just an extravaganza of God's sea animals. And, you know, of course, we've got sand on the floor, a little bit of sand on the floor, and shells, and, you know, to make it, because I like to build scenes. And the kids just loved it. So I just took that program and I put it in a book format. And so if you're interested, you can get that at our library on Thursday. Okay, so questions? Yes?
I've used a lot of programs too. I can't remember if Lamplight Publishing or Sunlight Resource Center, but they have a whole series of nature, Bible, people, and there's a wonderful one on Tina. I just love to see it show up here behind the cloud.
Oh, okay. Is this Sunlight Education?
I don't remember if it's them or if it's okay. The same thing.
Oh, okay. For a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I type it into the computer so I can redo it on the card when I'm using it, but I'm not looking at the paper.
Okay.
Lots of different authors.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to find the missionary in Russia who has been making back for a long time, and she would have actually several places over there. They use it in their evangelistic series as part of a plan to help them check out creation, someone who survived. There was this Old Testament person, I think, and there was just a series that she would use in the children's program as a salvation series.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
Sunlight Resource Center or Sunlight Education Resources, I don't remember.
Okay.
Sunlight Publishing is both in Washington or somewhere in Washington area.
All right, thank you. Did somebody else have a suggestion? Yes.
Well, not a suggestion, but Strike it is the target's presence.
Yes.
She is a wonderful speaker. She was a secret women's retreat many years ago, and she was the whole.
Yes, yes. You can still get her octopus encounter at the ABC, I know, but it's just not this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh wow, how exciting. That is wonderful. Okay, well we're getting close to our deadline here, so let's move along a little bit. Okay, now what about lesson time? Now if you have two groups in your room, you want to aim at the older one. All right, the younger kids will get something out of it. But you definitely do not want to get your older kids to be in boredom city, okay? Like right now, I have in my room with my beginners and my kindergartners, we are teaching the kindergarten lesson. And it is working perfectly. The little ones are loving it, you know, because we're making it visual, we're making it interactive, and so it's still appealing to them. If you had kindergarten and primary, I know with My Bible First, they're the same lesson. So you got it made in shape, so you don't have to worry about that. But now, if you happen to have, let's move on to the next slide. If you happen to have a room like we've got 4-year-old Katie and maybe 7-year-old Kirk and 11-year-old Abby, and, you know, you might have a few more in their same age group, you know, then for lesson time, if you only have one teacher, then you want to aim toward the middle group, okay? So that it's not too much of a stretch for your younger ones, and the older ones, it's not too far away from where they are. Okay, so if you've got three groups, aim for the middle, okay? Yes?
We never did think one to come from 8.
Mm-hmm. I would still aim at teaching the kindergarten lesson, and especially if you're using My Bible First. Is that the program you're using? It's My Bible First?
No.
She's getting GraceLink? Okay. It is. It very is. That would be what I would want to use. And for those of you who are using My Bible First, that is an advanced program, you know, especially when you compare it to GraceLink. As I was trying to transition from GraceLink in Cradle Roll to My Bible First, and it was such a big stretch for the kids to jump from there to My Bible First. But yes, and if you have a boy like that, you would, and he can read, you know, you could have him read some of the Bible verses that are involved in the story. You know, read what Jesus says, read what Paul says, you know, and you could also use him as a helper, you know, to show the kids the pictures, you know, if you're using pictures or the felts, you know, to ask him to be your helper, and that'll keep him interested too. But use him as a reader as much as you can. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Okay. My Bible First, do they have one for what comes after primary?
Juniors? Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. They have all the way up through youth.
So are the lessons the same? So if you did
The juniors are, I know the kindergarten and primary have the same one. I'm not familiar with above that.
So it takes you through the whole Bible in 3 years.
Yeah, but are the lessons with juniors and teens?
They might be matched.
Okay. Another thing that you can do, aside from that, is if you have a helper, you know, like I had my husband, you know, one person can take the younger children, you know, and you could take the older ones, and like maybe you've got primary, juniors, and early teens, you know, in that group, you know, and so teach the early teen lesson, you know, to them. So dividing up, you know, when you have a wide range of ages, you know, you really, really do need an assistant to help you. Otherwise, it's too much of a gap for kids. Okay, yes. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. Yes.
The challenge that we have in our church is people coming late for one thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, I'm starting with all of them, and to make the older ones not feel like they're going into the baby class, because that's actually my class.
Mm-hmm.
I start with fellowship calls with the mission board and whoever's there.
Right.
And then when the teachers show up, then they take their kids to their classroom, and I go to my classroom with the ones that I have, so that are my age.
Sounds like.
And I'll go in the kindergarten class,
yeah,
because that's in between. But we are looking at losing, I think, some teachers. We may have to split again to have fewer classes. And I'm thinking, what can I do? Maybe I can start planning something and just talk to the others if they're willing, because I'm consistently there, that I consistently do something with all of them at the beginning, because most of the time I don't know until I get there.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I'm going to be doing something, but it happens for a long time, so why not just plan on it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go do the lesson when they get there.
That is the best plan.
So I'm looking for ideas.
It's really the time you really need to divide is during the lesson time.
We only have about, I mean, on a good day, probably 12 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the way from babies to 12 to 13.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the way I lived when I lived up north. We had Cradle Roll all the way up through juniors, and we did everything together until it. Well, I take it back. We did. We separated into two groups for prayer time, because we could do some things like prayer journals with the older kids, and we could do prayer songs and felts with the younger ones. But other than that, we did things together except for the lesson time. Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying you can't do prayer journals. I just, at that time, I didn't, because we had a lot of resources back in those days. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, times have changed now. We don't have a lot of those resources available today. Yes?
Well, we used to do, so we used to get there, like, our service starts at 10.
Uh-huh.
We used to have everybody come in there at 4 or 2 10.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all sit there, we'd sing hymns and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we'd split for class.
Okay.
At that point, after, well, 15 after 10.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's getting to the point, we don't have any children in our church that's that.
Yeah.
Because I started watching, and the kids are coming with the parents, and the parents are just, they're not even be able to get any message at the church because they're watching their children. There's 4 of them
mm-hmm.
in particular, and they're only for the worship service. Well, the mother's got a newborn baby with a feeding tube that's got a 1 or 2 year old. The other 2 are 6 and 7. Those 2 girls, I'm trying to, what I do is I make them, they want to teach reverence in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm letting them sit with their parents up until that point. My sister and I are kind of teaming up, and we got some help from, you know, inside the church too.
Okay.
What I was doing. After the children, we do the praise song, and then we did the, like this is the actual worship service. When they're coming in for the church service.
Okay.
Worship. Then they sit there for the 12 praise song, they sit there for the garden of prayer, the tithes and offerings, and the children's story is the border. The children's story, after the children's story, I take those 2 girls out of the classroom and teach them Sabbath school.
Okay.
And at that point, the good day I told me, I know what you're doing. I thank you for doing that. Because now his nan is at his place is getting the message, and she's starting to enjoy coming to worship.
Praise the Lord.
I don't think we were going to lose them.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Because she's watching all these kids. But she wasn't getting, you know, I mean, you can't be that distracted.
Right. Yeah. Every church is going to be a little different. You know, you have to look at what your children are, your needs there, and adjust your schedule, you know, in order to fit what would work, what works best. Now, I just want to share one more thing, especially for the older kids. Some of you that are having, all right, we talked about that, is we want to be training up our young people, and especially if we've got older primaries and juniors, early teens, in your blended classrooms. There's some ways that we can really help them to grow. And one of the things you could do is set up a buddy plan. Like if you've got some juniors and you've got maybe some kindergartners, you know, pair them up, you know, and the older ones can help them when they're looking up Bible verses, you know, he can help point out the words. He can help them find the book in the Bible. They can pair them up when they're doing when you're doing your memory verse review. You know, the older one can work with the younger one. And, you know, it's a terrific way to build responsibility and to build leadership in our kids. And also, it kind of helps with that peer dependency, with them always sitting with their friends. If you can give them a job and buddy them up, I think buddies are a great way to do it when you have a blend of older ones with the younger one. This one we've talked about is to use your readers, meaning the primaries and the juniors that can read. Okay, get them to read the memory verse, get them to share a mission story. Those are some things that they can do. And let's see. And another one is make kids your partners. Make them your assistants. You know, when I was a church school teacher, you know, when it was Friday chapel, you know, we had kids that had the scripture reading. We had kids that led the songs. You know, you could get some of your older kids to get up front, pick the songs for your song service, lead out. You know, when kids get a little older, they get a little self-conscious and they might not want to sing. But if they're the leader, it's a little easier. I've seen it in church schools, and the kids are very much more involved when it's kids mentoring, you know, leading out with the kids. They could have special music. You know, and do you think the kids will be turned on to worship, you know, within Sabbath school? They are. When they have a part in the program and they're not just sitting there being entertained so to speak, by you and me. You know, so getting them as part of your team, making them your partners. In this small church where my kids grew up, you know, the kids got so involved in Sabbath school and us and making them a part of the program that they became the leaders. Like I said, they ran the Vacation Bible School. One of our boys, he became a junior elder. He's now a pastor up in the UP. My second oldest daughter became the youngest church treasurer in the Michigan Conference. And, you know, and she is now, I'll show a picture of, I gotta show, I'm a mom, gotta show a picture of her. She is now over, let's see if we can go backwards. Oh, there she is. That's my daughter Tesha and her family. They are missionaries in Thailand now. And they're trying to develop a ministry like 3ABN. Right now they're making CDs of gospel messages and programs and sharing it with people in Thailand because less than 1% are Christians over there. But, you know, this is the big changes that we saw in our little church. We saw all these kids learning how to be leaders, and now that they're adults and they are super leaders involved in the church, and now they're training their children and passing on the blessings that they learned in Sabbath school. So we don't have to feel bad if we belong to a small church. We can still make a big difference in children's lives. Yes?
People know children. So if somebody comes, there's nothing for kids. We can throw in the room and kind of entertain themselves. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but I would like to build a program and do it, but there's kids.
Absolutely. Well, you know what I'd like, why don't we, I know some of you have some stories, but why don't we close with prayer and we can talk a little bit after that, okay? Because I know my AV man is right at the door. Okay? All right, can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful work that you have placed into all of our hands. We know that there are great challenges before us. But, Lord, I just praise you for all of the input we've had here this afternoon. And I just pray that we will all take some of these tools home with us and put them into practice. And, Lord, just be with us and help us to disciple our boys and girls so that they can be used by you in a mighty way right now, not when they grow up, but right now in our Sabbath school. Help us to make our Sabbath school rooms training centers for Christian workers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.